You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Arsenal 0, West Ham 1. What strategy did the West Ham manager Graham Potter cook for this game? Is that the title gone for Arsenal? And what does the idiom to flash someone's knickers at someone mean? Arsenal 0, West Ham 1. Who would have thought? My name is Zdeněk Lukas, and I'm the person behind this podcast called the Footglish Podcast, which is a podcast for English learners who want to improve their English by football. And my guest today is none other than a recurring friend of the podcast, I could say. His name is Clive, a West Ham fan. Hello, Clive. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you very much. It's great to be back. It's been a little while since I came on, so it's nice to have a little return, especially after such a good weekend for us.
You are not an ordinary West Ham fan, though. You have your own YouTube channel and you appear on other YouTube channels dedicated to West Ham. Their names? Can you tell us their names?
Okay, so my own channel is Green Street Elites. I do upload content there, you know, occasionally at the moment. I also appear on a Tuesday on the Bowling Lounge, on a Wednesday night regularly on West Ham Network, which is quite a big West Ham channel.
And on
Thursday nights, I appear on Early Doors Football TV, and that's got a multitude of football fans that watch that. It's not just West Ham. And there are quite a few Arsenal fans involved in that, actually.
Well, that's interesting, because basically the next question has to be, which West Ham channel aren't you involved in? You seem to be everywhere, Clive.
I think I'm popular because I'm an old school supporter from back in the 60s when I first started supporting. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a young boy, but I was I've seen many iterations, I'm going to use that word deliberately, of West Ham. Because, you know, so many different teams have had long lists of managers.
Yeah.
West Ham's list is relatively short. We tend to keep managers for a long period.
It's like Arsenal. It's very similar to Arsenal, you could say.
Yes.
So you must have been... Sorry. So obviously, you know, I'm an Arsenal fan, but I'm also a West Ham fan. So you could say I'm a torn fan, but I will be honest with you, in this weekend game, Arsenal-West Ham, I thought it might have been better for Arsenal to win. I was secretly supporting Arsenal because, you know, my main reason being they have something to play for, whereas West Ham are safe. They are safe. They're not really in the relegation battle. But they are mid-table, a little bit worse than that, and the season is written off pretty much, right? So basically, I was a bit disappointed, but I'm pretty sure you on the other hand were quite jubilant after that.
Indeed, I was. And to be fair, you know, on the opposite side of the scale to your disappointment in the result, I have that added jubilation because you are a London rival, and that means a heck of a lot in football. Arsenal are a London rival. You know, they undoubtedly have taken the best midfielder this country has seen in a very long time.
Do you mean Declan Rice?
That man indeed. Yes, I do. And I can say his name now. And I applaud him because he holds his head high, especially when West Ham fans are tearing strips off of him, you know, live in the studio, in the stadium. But, you know, and also, you know, we had to save face a little bit, if you like, because we've had a real bad run of results, especially at home to Arsenal. You know, we've been crushed fives and sixes, you know, and... And that is really hard to swallow from a local rival.
Of course. You know. Yeah.
You know.
Well, so, but still, this came a little bit out of nowhere. Okay, I'll give you that. You have changed the manager. The manager is now Graham Potter. He replaced Julen Lopetegui.
Yes.
But to be honest, I didn't see this one coming, even though your performances have improved under this new manager, Potter. You have been positive, but still a little bit inconsistent with the results. So where did this one come from? I have no clue.
Well, I kind of skirted around it by saying about how I felt. The club feel the same way. You know, we've been crushed 5 and 6 goals against us in our own home, in our own backyard. That's really hard to take. So let's go there and show them that we can take points from them in their back garden, you know. And that's an added incentive for the whole club, for the whole team, and for the management, etc. as well. So, you know, Graham Potter has a point to prove. You know, he hasn't come here just to make up the numbers, and he hasn't come here to be a short-term prospect. Mm-hmm. He's come here to be a long-term. I don't want to use the word project because it gets used far too much and it means nothing these days in football. He's come here for the long term. He wants to win. I'm not saying what he wants to win because I don't know the answer to that, but he wants to win. Every manager out there wants to win. And the fact that he has come from the background that he has as a player for Brighton, went off and brought a fourth division team in Sweden, I believe it
Sweden,
was.
Sweden,
And had them playing in European competitions by being in, basically, in Champions League places.
That's right, yeah. Brighton were amazing at the time under Graham Potter. He was nicknamed Harry Potter, honestly. But then, something went wrong. And his next job was at Chelsea, and that was absolutely awful, right? He did a terrible job there.
Really and truly, what you did was right now. Graham Potter is what I call a steady manager that likes to work with what he has. Okay, he's not what a greedy manager where he go, oh, I like him and I like him, I want them. Yeah, he's not like that. They identify talent that can come and be nurtured under his tutelage. Yeah. So, and what I really like about him is, okay, yes, he is English, and, you know, all the fans in the stadium and that are kind of appreciative of that because it's been a while since we've had an English manager. You know,
that's true.
You know, we had Scottish managers, we've had Italian, we've had, you know, Argentinian or whatever, you know, no, Peruvian money. You know, we've had many managers we haven't had that long a list of managers, but you know, we've had managers that haven't been English. And for West Ham, the fact that we are in the heart of the capital city, we now have that London on our badge, which I actually don't like. But it means so much to us to have an English manager at the helm or coach at the helm to kind of punch us forward with a little. Yes, we love all our foreign players. We love them, you know. And, you know, let's not be, you know, biased here. I loved Slaven Bilic, probably the most un-English manager we've had. Other than Pellegrini.
Sounds you know, like someone from the Balkans to me.
It is, yeah. You know, he was a great guy. Loved him to bits. But now we've got someone that I feel that as a English club, and I'm not dismissing all of our foreign supporters either, you know, I'm saying that as an English club in the heart of the English capital, we can now be that beating heart in London. Do you know what I mean? For the British game, as it were. And it kind of means a lot to people, like, you know.
I think I get it. Even if when I look at the fans and what sort of fans are West Ham fans, you seem to be like the Brit. There's like a huge British core. Whereas if we look at the other teams, they have different sort of supporters, including Arsenal. Chelsea.
I mean, that's,
you know,
like I said, that's not to say that we have only English fans, because as you know, we have fans all around the world. We have people that tune into our shows.
For example,
Thailand.
I am your fan.
There you go, and you're actually in Vietnam right now, and and we have people in the USA, Canada, and all over the world. You know, Thailand.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Clive. So let's talk about this game a little bit. So of course, 1-0 to West Ham, a sucker punch for Arsenal. Not many chances, only two shots on goal from each teams. Arsenal had, I think, 8 shots off target. More possession than you, but you seem to have that game under control nevertheless. So how did you see the game and the plan? What do you think was the plan?
I think the approach to the game from Graham Potter, the plan for the game, I think was perfectly executed by the players on the day. It was a little concerning when we saw the midfield three for us, because there was very little pace in the midfield three.
Although Alvarez, Soucek and Soler, was it?
James Ward-Prowse.
Oh, Prowse, yeah. Prowse came back from Southampton.
Southampton.
He was there on loan. Yeah.
Correct. James Ward-Prowse was at Nottingham Forest on loan.
Ah, he came from Southampton to West Ham.
Correct.
Then he was at West Ham and you sent him on loan.
We loaned him out, Well, I say we did. It was Julian Lopetegui.
Not you and I.
I was a little concerned that there was very little pace. Although, as you know, I'm a big fan of Thomas Soucek. I'm a big fan of Edson Álvarez. He is sort of fast becoming the club's new Terminator. You know, this is a nickname that we give to a player that has very little regard for any outcome from tackles that they go into, you know. They're very strong. Thomas Soucek is a very strong tackler when he goes in for one, but he's more tactical than that.
Yeah, he's tactical. But he doesn't get red cards, and Alvarez does.
No, Alvarez does, and yellow cards as well. Yeah. But we do like that sort of blood and guts player at West Ham. We love that. And he's fast becoming the new Terminator, if you kind of get
that.
And, you know, James Ward-Prowse, we know the quality that he's got.
He's a set piece specialist, basically, right? Yeah. He's like the best free kick taker in England or something like that. He scored one goal from corner last season, didn't he?
He did indeed, yeah. And he is one goal away from equaling David Beckham's record.
Oh, really?
Of set piece goals, yes.
Wow.
Okay. One goal away. And then we go and send him to Nottingham Forest when we really could use that. We've had plenty of free kicks that have not gone well.
No.
With James Ward-Prowse on it, maybe we could have been in a better position than we are now, perhaps. Yeah. I think that was a poor decision from Lopetegui and his team. Mm-hmm. I think that was a poor decision to let him go.
Well, he's back now, so
he
now
came back, and you know, I mean, I think I wasn't disappointed with the performance of any of the West Ham players. I thought every one of them turned up. Little concerned about Kudus because he hasn't been as effective lately as he has been in the past.
Oh, he played really well in this game, I thought.
He did indeed, but as we in the UK say, we think that he may have been, you know, flashing his knickers at Arsenal.
What does that mean?
Wait a minute.
Flashing his knickers, like as in the underwear.
Come and get me. Come and get me.
Okay. So that's as a, like, kind of, like a cheap woman, like, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I'm available. Come and get me. That's what that means.
Flashy,
so we feel that he did that at Manchester City, Liverpool, and Arsenal this year. They're the only three games that we feel that he really turned up for. But
right. The big ones. At
the moment, we don't mind because he's turning up in the big games and we're getting decent.
So maybe you should just play. You should only play him against these big boys.
Well,
he will flash his knickers when it's
a little more. Yeah, you know,
when he feels like he should do it, and when you play weaker opponents, just put him on bench. Yeah. But not you and I, but your manager.
The team. I mean, the thing is, he is one of the exceptional players that we do have at West Ham. Him and Lucas Paqueta are both exceptional players on their day.
Yeah.
And I think also that Aaron Wan-Bissaka is fast becoming one. He has
bargain he has been. Honestly, 15. He came from Manchester United, right? From the struggling Manchester United team. Imagine how good he could have been if Ten Hag or whoever let him go had identified his qualities, because now at West Ham he is amazing. And that's coming from someone, of course, who supports Vladimir Sofal, because he's my countryman, and I have really enjoyed him playing at West Ham. But when Bissaka came, you know, I had to put my head down, and I admit he absolutely nailed it, you know, and he deserves
And you know, play. But there are also times when we could use both of those players, because there are times when Vladimir Sofal's delivery is impeccable at times.
That's true, yeah. He's good.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, oh, his crossing's not great, but you have a look at his assist.
It's pretty good, yeah.
You have a look at his assist rate at West Ham United. Yeah. I guarantee it's... you, it's probably the best in the club since he's been there.
He's very consistent. You always know how he's going to put the ball in, and he does it on a consistent basis. And his long throws are good as well.
I think he's probably had at least half a dozen six assists from the throw in directly. You know, probably.
I think he's now injured though, so he's injured.
He is. He has had a slight injury, a muscle injury, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that shouldn't take very long to heal. So Arsenal were disappointing in this game, including Declan Rice. To be honest, at one point I thought to myself, is he really playing for us, for Arsenal? Is he playing for us, for West Ham? I don't know which one I should say, for you, for us. I'm a schizophrenic Arsenal / West Ham fan. That's why when Declan Rice was sold to Arsenal, I was the least disappointed West Ham fan, because I support Arsenal, right? So.
I think Declan had a poor game. Yes, he did. But it was quite satisfying as a West Ham fan.
Obviously, yeah.
To see him watching on as Jared Bowen put that header in. Mm. It was quite satisfying. But nonetheless, you know, he hasn't been great this season, Declan, you know, but there are obvious signs of his quality in every game.
No, he was great. He was great when he came for a long time. It's just now he has a spell, but that's not just him. Odegaard is also out of form currently.
Mikel Arteta is probably not playing Declan Rice with as much freedom as he would like, because with a little more freedom, Declan is a lot more artistic.
Possibly, yeah.
Oh, he is, trust me. I mean, you've watched enough of his games at West Ham
to know that. But I also sometimes didn't like the fact that he was outshining, if that's the word, Tomáš Souček, because Tomáš Souček is also a box to box midfielder, and he was I think that's why he was not at his best. That's why he was so heavily criticized, partially because he was not played in his best position because of Declan Rice, to appease Declan Rice, you know.
And yet, funnily enough, Thomas Souček has received more criticism since Declan Rice went to Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah.
This season, we are now giving him the credit he's due for the games that he's playing and for the way that he's playing them. I think a lot of West Ham fans would agree that he is invaluable. Not irreplaceable, but invaluable. So, you know, we wouldn't be surprised if he was maybe purchased by Everton now that David Moyes is there. We wouldn't be surprised. Slightly disappointed, but we wouldn't be surprised. But you know, we would also be equally as happy to have him stay.
I don't think many people realize that Tomáš Souček really loves West Ham, and I'm sorry, but I really hated the way Tomáš Souček was labeled as Moyes' favorite, and the way some YouTubers, West Ham fan YouTubers, talked about Tomáš Souček. It's favoritism. He's only playing because Moyes loves him, and then he would go to Everton. No, he didn't. He was made the captain or vice captain under Lopetegui. He played almost every single game, and he's playing under this manager as well. So I think now we have enough evidence to see that it wasn't like that. He just deserved to play. That's it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's definitely an invaluable player. Yeah, I love him as well. He's improved so much this season, though, you know, because he's taken on this role. I mean, I would say he's probably the club vice captain.
He is.
Jared Bowen being the captain.
Yeah.
So I think that because he's been kind of elevated by Lopetegui or Graham Potter, I think maybe now that he's got this position as vice captain, he's thinking, well, anything can happen, like it did a few weeks ago when we lost Jared Bowen for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to step up, and believe me, he put in a captain's performance every week.
Yeah,
might not have got a goal, might not have assisted a goal, might not have, you know, defended a goal very well. But as the on-field captain, you couldn't have asked for better.
Absolutely.
As a vice captain, you know, and as the on-field captain. And I think on Saturday, when Jared Bowen was replaced by Evan Ferguson, and he gave Thomas the armband.
He's the next in the pecking order for the captaincy.
Of course,
armband.
But there was no shift in attitude towards that role. So what I mean is that Thomas Souček basically just took the armband on and basically carried on with the plan. You know, there was no... There was no change in tempo.
I hope he will keep proving the doubters wrong at West Ham and keeps putting in great performances. That's for me, that's the most important thing, because we love Tomáš Souček in the Czech Republic. He's a great captain of the national team as well. So hopefully there are still a few years ahead of him at West Ham, and hopefully you guys play better as well, because I don't know, 16th place is just not good enough. I'm sure the fans are really disappointed with this season. And well, for Arsenal, on the other hand, it seems like the season is almost written off as well. You know, we just need to secure the top four finish now. Liverpool, I don't know, 9 points ahead, or how much is it? Eight points. It seems
in
their current form. And Mo Salah is just on fire. It's
mathematically, Arsenal could still take the title. Mathematically,
they would have to throw it. Liverpool, honestly, like
they would. Yeah, theoretically, and kind of looking at it logically, as you say, Liverpool would have to throw it. Arsenal would have to get a maximum, you know, 3 points from every game they play. And I have to be honest, I'm not sure that the current Arsenal are capable of that.
No, we have just seen why. Like, you can't lose to West Ham at home. I'm sorry, you just can't.
Yeah, and you know, and in fairness, you know, there are one or two Arsenal channels that I view regularly, and you know, there are comments that you see on the screen and you hear from the presenters sometimes. You know, things like, you know, but we were the invincibles. Well, yes, Arsenal were the invincibles, and fantastic that they are the only team to have ever done that in the Premier League. Massive, massive big up to them. You know, massive congratulations to them on it.
But that was when you and I were young lads.
Well, I weren't so young.
You were much also younger. 20 years ago it was.
I would imagine that not even many of the staff at the stadium are the same people.
You know, 20 years ago, Clive.
Yeah, there are no playing staff, no coaching staff, and very little of the board left from that period.
It's just the fans. They're just nostalgic, and that's why sometimes it's hard for them to take, you know.
That is also true of West Ham, you know. Yeah. I mean, like, one of the things that you'll hear a lot is that West Ham won the World Cup in 1966. Mm-hmm. You know, we hold on to that because three West Ham players played a pivotal role in that game.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we kind of claim that as our World Cup. You know, it's a tongue-in-cheek, a joke, but, you know,
of course,
we do use it quite a lot. However, nothing of West Ham United in 1966 survives to this day, not even the badge on the shirt.
Yeah,
it's completely different.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man.
The only thing that survives is the claret and blue.
Yeah,
that is it.
Well, that is it. That is a great note to end on this fantastic podcast with you, Clive. Thank you very much talking to me about West Ham and this Arsenal West Ham game. And all the best to you. I will be in touch.
Thanks. Lovely to see you.
Take care, buddy. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, there is no interview anymore. I'm just by myself here, and I will be clarifying or explaining something from the English language, because that's what English teachers do, and I'm an English teacher. So today we're taking a look at the phrase to flash your knickers at someone. So this is an idiom. So the whole phrase has a meaning of basically trying to attract somebody's attention. Yeah. And now we should explain it. Let's dive deeper into this British English slang idiom. First of all, what are knickers? Well, knickers, spelled with K-N-I-C-K-E-R-S, knickers are women's underpants. Yeah. So we're talking about women's underwear. And basically, if you flash your knickers, you're basically sort of like showing your underwear in a provocative way to seek attention, right? So, however, we use this to talk about football, in a sense of when there is a football player who wants to maybe change their club, right? Who wants to showcase his abilities to bigger clubs. In this case, we were talking with Clive about Mohamed Kudus, the West Ham player, and he was playing well in that game because he was flashing his knickers at Arsenal, right? He was playing well because he was hoping that some agents would notice him and potentially he could get a transfer to better club. Yeah, that's the idea. To flash your knickers at someone. That's basically it. So I hope you like this one. I don't know how useful it is outside football. I suppose you could use it in some contexts, but here it's used in football mainly. Okay, guys, I guess that's it for today. Don't forget, you can support the Footglish podcast by giving this video on the YouTube channel a like. Or if you're listening to this as an audio, then just go to, Spotify and give this show a 5-star rating. You can do something similar at Apple Podcasts, of course, and you can even write what you think about the podcast. It will actually help out a lot. It will help me out a lot. It will make a difference. So please, if you could do that, I would be very, very grateful to you indeed. So that's it for today. Thank you very much. And I will speak to you soon. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.